Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
This is Pastor McLean. Thank you for listening today. Go with us now as we go to part two of a message that was delivered on September the 1st of this year, entitled, What is the Plan of God for the Nations?
Paul, missionary, evangelist, greatly used of God. A prophet comes and says, this is going to happen to you. All the people say, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul does not refute what was said. He doesn't say, well, I don't believe that. And Paul does not listen to what they all said, even though it would be true. And Paul, when he makes the statement, I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul had settled some things in his heart. And Paul had already decided, because the Lord had told him, expect persecution, expect a rough time, expect wherever you go that there's going to be opposition to the ministry. So Paul did not have this sunny day mentality of walking with Jesus. Paul understood that if you are a Christian and you're following God, you will come under attack. And Paul had just settled it in his own heart that regardless of what I face, I am not going to back down. I believe God is calling me to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go to Jerusalem regardless of what happens. And whether I'm put in jail or whether I lose my life there, I've already settled that. And I want to just encourage you this morning that have settled that as well. That regardless of what happens, that you're going to live for Christ. Regardless of what you face, regardless of what you go through, regardless of what happens in our nation, regardless of what freedoms we may have or not have. Some of you remember our friends back a few years ago, we had many guests coming in from Cuba. And one thing that sort of surprised me, they did not run down their government, though they would love to be free. They would love their nation to be free. But they didn't pick and find fault, and they didn't complain. And when they came in, whether it was for a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, whatever they came for, they always came with a positive, powerful message of encouragement. And I looked at them and I thought, they don't have half the freedom we have. How can they be so focused on the goodness of God, even when things are coming apart? And I believe the way they do it is that they have not been taught that everything's going to go rosy for us in the kingdom of God. And we have a lot of ministries and a lot of ministers that will try to convince us that when you come to Christ, everything is going to be easy from there. I don't know about your walk with the Lord. Coming to Christ was the best thing I ever did in my life. But I'll tell you what, it has not always been easy. And if you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus said something, in this world you will have trouble. And if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Paul went ahead and said, and the people, Paul said, I'm going to go. And the people said, the Lord's will, may it be done. And so, the will of the Lord. Paul had surrendered. What about Jesus in the garden? We're talking about the will of God does not control or remove your free will. And this is where some would say, well, you know, they prayed a prayer back 20 years ago. I know they've been living like the devil. I know they have no interest in the Word of God. I know they're untruthful. I know they're a liar. I know that they're not serving God, but they prayed the prayer. And so once they prayed the prayer, I know that they're okay. But let me tell you, the same free will that gives you an opportunity to pray the prayer can also give you freedom to curse and to run from God. And that is a painful reality in the Word of God, that there are apostates that leave the faith. And I hate to think that anyone would. Let me tell you, no one loses their salvation. I've lost glasses. You ever lost glasses? You lost your keys? You even lost your car in a parking lot. It's a pretty good-sized thing to lose, right? But let me tell you, you will not lose your salvation. If you choose to rebel against God, it will be purposeful It will be willful. It will be difficult. And it will be a consistent decision against God. Because the grace of God that saves us will encourage us and strengthen us to endure any and every battle that we go through. And we're not perfect, but I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will convict us and convince us and call us forward. You may fall on your face, you may fall in a rut, you may have a lot of nose time on the carpet, but if you're truly a child of God and born again, God will convict you of any sin and He will call you out of it and say, come on child. Any of you know what I'm talking about this morning? And so we find Jesus in the garden, Luke 22. And in the garden, He prays this prayer, Father, if You're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. And you're familiar with this, aren't you? And then He says this, yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. And I do just hear in my head as I read this in a different translation, I hear, nevertheless, not my will, Thy will be done. Nevertheless. See, Jesus was actually saying that He still had free will in the garden, and He could choose to either surrender or not, and that's why the devil attacks us. Do you know if the devil knew that once you received Christ that you couldn't abandon your faith, why would the devil even pick on you? Because he would know there's no battle. You've already won. The devil chases you and chases me to our last breath, knowing that we still can make choices. Do you remember Job's wife? She said, why don't you just curse God and die. You're a mess. You have nothing to live for. Our family's gone. Our wealth is gone. Our public relationships, our friendships, your place in the community, it's all gone. Just curse God and die. And Job said something. He said, even if you slay me, yet I will serve you and praise you. Amazing, amazing. And I believe God may give some of us that opportunity. The will of God is that the people and the nations choose life. That's the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is that none should perish. And so God made a way for the nations and the people to be saved. And you know this, and I know this. And when we look at John 10:10, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, right? And then we love John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's that invitation, whosoever believes shall have everlasting life. God is into life. That's why Amendment 4 is a big deal, because God is into life. And so we see this, and in Romans we already said that the wages of sin we know is death, but the gift of God is what kind of life? It's everlasting life. Just like John 3:16 and just like John 10:10, it's everlasting life. So God is the author of life. It's a will of God that the people and the nations choose life, and that's God's will today. In Joshua 24, you're familiar with this passage where God says to Israel, I gave you land that you hadn't worked on, and I gave you towns that you didn't build. The towns where you are now living, I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. And basically God's saying, I'm a good God. Israel, listen, I'm a good God. He's saying to us in America, I'm a good God. He's saying to us sitting in this room this morning, I'm a good, good God. Count your blessings. I like that song we used to sing. So fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly with all your heart. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Verse 15, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. That's the will of God. Make a choice. Choose who you will serve. Make that choice today. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors, or will it be the gods of the Amorites? And I'm sort of skipping. The people replied, we would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods. And this whole encouragement of God to Israel, choose life, choose life, choose life. Joshua is a part of that. And Joshua would say, as for me, you know, I can't choose for you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? And so, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Deuteronomy, it just says the same thing basically again. Listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commands, decrees, and regulations. This is Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 and following. Don't have time to read them all. If you do this, you will live and you will multiply in the land, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're about to enter and occupy. His blessings will be upon you. But if your heart turns away, if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long life. Today I've given you, verse 19, and this again is the verse, today I have given you the choice between life and death, blessings and curses. Oh, that you would choose life. That's God's word. All right, we're going to share communion together, and I want to, as the communion's being passed, go to the book of Daniel. And I briefly mentioned part of this passage the other day, sort of from a different perspective, but in Daniel, we have, of course, the stand that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar's question is, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? What God will be able to rescue you from my power? We need to have an answer for that, don't we? To our government and in every government on the planet, when the question is raised and the devil asks, what is your God able to do now? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, this verse 17, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your gods. Never. That's our position, right? We will never, ever serve the gods of this world or worship the gold statue you have set up. Never do it. Never do it. Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he sees four men in the fire in verse 25, right? And they're walking around. They're hanging out. They're having a great bluebird on your shoulder day. They're in the middle of the fire, walking around. They're not hurt by the flames. If you remember, they didn't smell like smoke. The only thing the fire could burn were the ropes that held them bound. And so they defied the king's command. What's God's plan for the nation? His desire is to awaken kings and priests and rulers and leaders and presidents. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he's praising the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is awesome. When the people of God stand up against the evil in their generation, and this isn't we're lawless and we're rebellious against the law. No. But if it has to do with our faith and our trust and our relationship with God, we say no. We will not bow to that. They defied the king's command. We're willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. And now listen, this is the will of God for the peoples and the nations of the earth. If any people, he's making this decree, if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn from limb to limb and their houses will be crushed into heaps of rubble. What is the plan? The plan is to get the attention of the wicked by the life and stand and lifestyle of the righteous. We don't negotiate with evil. We don't drop our guard. We don't change our position. We are not changing the Word of God. We're not going to water it down. We're going to stand on the truth. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's starting to get it a little bit. And he says, there is no other God who can rescue like this. He's starting to get it. He doesn't totally get it. then if you just turn over a couple pages, you find out that this same Nebuchadnezzar is walking around in Babylon and he's saying, wow, look at this great city that I built. And God begins to work in his life. He's out on his veranda walking, talking, looking, patting himself on the back, all excited about all of his power. And listen, I'm sharing this on purpose. I believe we need to pray for President Trump that he does not have pride in his heart that hinders him from being used by God further. He has experienced the grace and the mercy of God in a wonderful way, and many of us have as well. But we need to pray that he has humility and he gives God the glory for what's going on in his life. I'm talking about what is God's will for the nations and the leaders of the nations. Well, this man's walking around. Just look at this great city of Babylon. I, by my own mighty power, have built this beautiful city as my royal residence and as an expression of my royal splendor. But there was a voice that called out from heaven. I believe the other day when there was a shot that rang out and, you know, President Trump turned his head and the shot came through his ear instead of through his head. I believe there's a voice from heaven that's reaching out to some of our leaders right now. We're praying, right? We're praying. We're asking God to have mercy on America and bring us revival and bring us an awakening. And I do believe that God is speaking. This voice cried out to Nebuchadnezzar, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You're no longer ruler of this kingdom. You'll be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way. Until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of this world." What is God's will for the nations and the leaders of the nations? The will of God is that the leaders learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. That's the will of God for the leaders. And he gives them to anyone he chooses. Well, he goes on to say that he lived this way until his hair was long as eagle's feathers. His nails were like bird's claws. And after this time had passed, Nebuchadnezzar giving his testimony, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned and I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever." This is the will of God for our leaders. We need to pray this over those that are running for office, that God will raise up leaders who will recognize that God is king and that he is sovereign and worship him. He says his rule is everlasting, his kingdom is eternal, and all the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. What is he saying? He has now had a full awakening. I believe it started back with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when he began to acknowledge there's no God that can deliver like your God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But now he is awakening. He is coming to his senses and he's beginning to make this declaration. All the people on the earth are nothing. God has the power to do as he pleases among the angels of heaven and with those who live on the earth. No one can stop him or challenge him. This is what we're going to see right now with our eyes. If God lets us live, we're seeing it. We're going to see more in Israel. We're going to see it in our land. We're going to see it in the elections. We're going to see it on Amendment 4. We're going to see that God is still stepping in because the godly are standing in the place of prayer and interceding for our leaders. God is having mercy on us. The fact that President Trump is alive is God's mercy. But it's more than mercy. It's a knock on the door. Wake up! Wake up! And I thank God for every positive thing that was done under President Trump's leadership. I thank God for the strengthening position that was given to Israel and the Jewish nation. I thank God that the embassy was moved to Jerusalem to show honor and respect to the plans and purposes of God. I thank God that President Trump allowed the righteous to come and lay hands on him and pray for him, and he's received counsel from many godly people. I thank God for that. I thank God that he actually did a lot of the things that he said he was going to do, and protection was continued over faith and faith-based organizations, and he has a heart for the church to be able to continue and exist. I thank God that he also supports life. Heard him say he would vote no on Amendment 4. He will not vote for that to go into place. I thank God for all of that, for all of that. But I'm concerned, and I know it's politics, and some of you are going to try to straighten me out, and I'll let you work on that. But I have a problem when someone says, I will make America great again. Let me tell you, America's greatness was never because of a man or a woman. It was only because of God. And so I call you, the church, to recognize that we need to pray for those who are running for offices, that there will be a call to national repentance and humility and surrender to God, and that we as a nation will repent of our sins and our leaders will humble themselves. And I'm looking not for a president that falls down when he's shot, but for a president that kneels down because he recognizes that there is only one God in heaven. And I've heard a lot of positive things, and I thank God for it, but I'm going to pray that there's an increase in humility and that pride goes out the window, if there is any there. I'm not judging the man's heart. I'm just saying I hear too much about me and what I can do, and I want to hear more about God and what God has done and what God wants to do. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear a leader saying, we as a nation need to come back to God. We need to have, I want to hear the president do what happened in Tennessee, where they said, we're going to take a month and humble ourselves and repent and fast and pray for our state. I want to hear our president saying, we're in such a mess in our world today that there is no solution, there's no answer other than God showing up. Because I'll assure you, there's not a policy, not a negotiation, there's not a plan of man that's going to save this nation and bring us where we need to go. No one other than God can do that. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for an opportunity of being with your family this morning. And Father, my heart is encouraged. There's many things that I'm encouraged in today. But I do pray for my nation. I pray that you raise up leaders that are not just religious, but are righteous. Father, that aren't just for the moment respectful, not just God-fearing, but Father, I'm praying for repentance, deliverance, for salvation to come to the White House. Some might say it's too late, America's too far gone, but Father, I know that it's not too late because the church is still here. And we still have family members that need Jesus. And I have relatives and neighbors that need Jesus. And Father, there are many that I believe that you're touching their hearts even this morning. So I do pray, as Bill encourages us in our prayer times always, and pray for President Trump. I do pray for President Trump. I pray, Father, that this day would be a day of deeper surrender to you. That today would be a day of full surrender to you. Father, that today would be a day when you would minister to his heart and bring godly counsel around him. Father, where he would lift up his heart and lift up his voice and publicly give God glory and give God credit, not just for saving his life, but for the foundation of this nation. And our hope is in you, God. Our hope is in you. Yes, I'll vote. Yes, we'll vote. Yes, every righteous person should vote. Yes, we should be registered. Yes, we should do all that, and we will. But Father, we're going to do it praying. On our knees. We're going to vote on our knees. Father, we're going to stand in faith, and we're going to stand agreeing that you are the only hope for our nation. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, come in to stay,
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Well, we lift up the bread and we lift up the cup this morning as we come to the Lord's table. Father, we come to this time in the service recognizing that no one is righteous apart from the blood of Jesus, apart from surrendering our lives and repenting and turning to God. But Father, you've touched our hearts. Maybe you're listening this morning. Maybe you're watching this morning. Maybe you'll be watching or listening sometime later. Or maybe you're in this room this morning and maybe God is calling and saying, will you let me in? Will you let me in? Many of you received the Lord. You've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God has called you to be a witness in this day. But if you're at this time, this communion time, and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you receive the gift of salvation now? Every service, I must give the invitation. Someone is listening. Someone needs Jesus now. And the Word says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you confess with your mouth, confess, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. I need a Savior. Forgive me. Come into my life. I surrender to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And now fill me, baptize me, come into my life, take possession of me, Father, through the Holy Spirit. I surrender fully to you in Jesus' name. Then all who are in the family can lift up the bread and say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the Father, the bread of life. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for His body that was given for us. We receive of this meal in thanksgiving. Let's receive. Father, we lift up the cup of our salvation. For Jesus, you said, this is my blood that is given for you. Take and drink ye all of it. May this cup be blessed. May it bring life to we who are in your family, Father. We receive in faith in Jesus' name. Let's receive.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Sitting here thinking about it, been good to me. Oh, oh Lord, my Lord, you have been mighty, mighty good to me. I was just sitting here thinking about, looking over my life, and I could see that you really